Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Hell yeah! Our segment with Mark Grody is sponsored by UI Health. Groats, what's happening, my man?
Lawrence and Matt, as always, a lot happening out here at Halas Hall. A full practice for the Bears today. We got a chance to talk to coordinators. I got back into the locker room today as well. And I am looking at right now for the benefit of people getting into their cars right now and wondering, all right, who's healthy and who is not for the Chicago Bears right now? Here's the good news. First of all, Tyreek Stevenson, a full participant in practice today, which would seem to connote that he is on his way back and probably will be playing this Sunday in Cincinnati. Did not get a chance to talk to Tyreek Stevenson today because he was pretty scarce in the locker room, but I have a pretty good feeling about him considering his status on that injury report was limited yesterday. So looking like he's good to go. And gentlemen, the Bears, as I suspected, started to get some of those receivers back. All four of their top receivers were DNPs, did not practice yesterday. But today, Olamide Zaccheaus was back, limited. He's been dealing with a knee injury. Roma Dunze, from whom you will hear in a second, has had a heel injury, did not practice yesterday, but was limited today. DJ Moore with the hip and groin issue was limited in practice today after missing yesterday. So that's the good news. Luther Burden continues to be in concussion protocol, so he did not practice, nor did Roschon Johnson or Dominique Robinson. And DeAndre Swift, again, did not practice today. Best guess is it's maintenance, and he does seem to have a high tolerance for pain. So I do have a good feeling about DeAndre Swift, but we'll wait and see what the final word is on him. Joe Tooney not out there today, just resting for Joe Tooney. So that's what it's looking like on the injury report today.
One more Cole Kmet limited like he was yesterday, right?
Yeah. Same as yesterday, Speaks. Right on. Yeah. So he is definitely trending towards playing. I mean, I know just like talking to Cole Kmet yesterday, he's pretty pissed that he missed a game because he had that that streak of games that he did not miss 50 plus. So I imagine that they will be full at the tight end position. But again, we will wait and see. One of the other things, guys, that I thought was semi-newsy today was the way they were talking about penalties, and specifically offensive coordinator Declan Doyle had told us this morning that they have started doing different things in practice in the name of reducing those penalties, which we know have gotten into the double digits multiple times this year for the Bears. He would not share with us what specific things they were doing in the practice to help quell the penalties. So we turned the microphone on Rome Odunze to see if he would tell us anything about what the practice was like today.
Yeah, we've had some different ideas for it, just, you know, bumping out the crowd noise, obviously holding everybody accountable to it as well, to a different standard, a higher standard, so that way, you know, we can just eliminate those errors.
You were talking about that a little bit, too. How do you hold people accountable?
I mean, you know, if those things happen, you know, it's whether it's you out for that play and you got to reflect on it, or we used to have a sign at UW, if you did something like that, you had to go touch it. It was called a TNT sign, and it was far. So every time you do that, you got to go touch it. But, you know, just different ways, yeah.
You said you added the crowd noise or extra crowd noise out there. Have there been also consequences that are different within practice when you guys make penalties?
For sure. Yeah, I definitely think we see that. I don't know, it's hard for me to give you a specific example. It was my first day out there. We didn't have many pre-snaps today. So, you know, but definitely, I think, you know, the consequences may be a little bit harsher. But, you know, that's what we need to understand. The consequences are harsher when we get into the game, you know what I mean? And that proved itself true last week.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So I'm sure the coaches are still involved and choosing something to do. I wonder if it's a group thing. Because, like, if you make the whole group drop down and give you push-ups or whatever, like, whatever the equivalent is, and then the leaders...
I thought they had up-downs. Yeah. I thought that was the whole thing.
Maybe.
They love doing up-downs.
That's just the defensive players, though. That's true. The defensive. Yeah.
Yeah. So. But you want to get the leaders stepping out and doing your bidding. Make the leaders do stuff, even if they're not the ones that screwed up. Then the leaders will be all pissed off. You know?
Yeah, I guess one thing that was a little bit disconcerting that I didn't add in the cut is that one of the things that has been said is that they need to tighten up and take more seriously the walkthrough portions of practice and the days that are, like, at the end of the week that are walkthroughs. And the reason that that's a little bit alarming is because they went through that last year. I remember that being a big deal, like, with guys. And again, we don't see everything that goes on, but what I can definitely infer from what I've been told and the guys that have spoken on record, that was a real problem last year at times. And that's a different staff. Now you have this staff kind of saying the same things, that these, you got to take the most rudimentary stuff you have to take seriously. And it sounded like they needed just a little bit of getting in line as it pertains to that. So I guess that's the only part that worried me a little bit about it. Continuing on, guys, in the locker room, and we'll get to some of the coordinators here in a bit, but I'm just bringing you guys the freshest stuff and I think some of the best stuff of the day. Brisker, with CD Gardner Johnson, Tyreek Stevenson, and Jaquan Brisker out there, it's going to be loud. That was what was on my mind today, and the trash talking that can be. But first, and you'll hear some of that fun stuff, but first, the serious. Brisker, on the stress of playing the safety position, where the Bengals have two terrific wide receivers, obviously in Ja'Marr Chase, and we know that T. Higgins is no slouch either. Here's how Brisker responded to that challenge and that stress.
I mean, we got two great safeties. We got a good tandem. So, to be honest, no disrespect, it doesn't put any stress on us. We just have to, you know, play our type of brand of defense. And we got good corners, too. It's not like he's just going to walk over our corners. And, just play our type of brand of defense and get after them. And that's what we're going to do.
With the juice that you're talking about with you, Gardner Johnson, and you mentioned Tyreek Stevenson as well, is talking, does that get in? Do you try to get into the heads of the other team? Is that really what it comes down to?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. We're going to talk, and it does. I mean, especially the way I talk and the way other people talk. I mean, we get in people's head. Grown man over be really crying out there. Grown man with kids. Like, imagine that. Like, seriously. Yeah, so it's hilarious. I wish I was mic'd up every game.
Wait, give us an example of a little trash talk.
My rookie year, you could ask Kendall Vittle. He was at corner, and I was talking a lot of trash to Justin Jefferson, and he was crying. In the second half, that's when he dropped, like, every ball. First half, he killed this, but second half, just pay attention to the game. You'll see. That's an example, though.
All right, I'm a little worried that Ja'Marr Chase is just going to laugh at him and dominate him in the second half. Consider me worried. I mean, I guess you got to believe that you are as good or better than those guys.
You can believe it.
But, I mean,
you don't need to say
it. You don't need to go ahead and taunt the best wide receiver in the NFL, do you?
Yeah. Well, both of them. Jamar Chase.
I think Chase is the best.
And Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, so how's that gone historically?
Not great. It's gone great.
Did you have a different reaction, Groats? You understand where we are.
Groats is over there doing the Grody thing, man. He's Grody's up there stirring it up.
Uh-huh.
I like it.
Well, I have gotten to know Jaquan Brisker a little bit, obviously, from being here throughout his entire career. And sometimes a veteran reporter like me, I kind of just have a little feeling about what he might be thinking and what he might be wanting to say. And I might have gotten that one right because he couldn't have been. Not only was he very specific in his example of trash talking, but he also gave me somebody to corroborate the story. Oh, you need a witness?
Kendall Vildor.
I got Kendall Vildor for you. Go call Kendall. I'll tell you more. And I'll have some a really good nugget for you guys here in just a couple minutes to further the Jaquan Brisker trash talking saga and story, a little bit more specifics on that Minnesota game. But I knew it. I knew that those three, man, that's going to be something to watch. Obviously, you can't let it get out of control, but that's three really emotional players that will be in the Bears secondary. So when Dennis Allen, as he kind of said today, and as yesterday, some of the players like Kevin Byard said, yeah, they're going to bring us juice. I will just say, be careful what you wish for, because you are certainly going to get it out there. As for
it's interesting. Let me just say, Groth, that's great stuff. Yeah. I just want to say, sure. An NFL locker room needs to be able to deal with the juice. You need to be able to have the juice, and you lack of the juice, and you need to be able to withstand the juice. So hopefully this is an adult professional locker room that can handle it now.
We'll find out. We're going to find out, man. Nobody knows. I mean, we could talk about how great the Bears locker room is and how good of a player Gardner Johnson is when he is focused, but there's no guarantee any of this is going to work out. And, you know, there might be more evidence to suggest that it won't, but it's not going to be interesting. That's what I will say about him.
No doubt. What did Dennis Allen have to say about things?
Yeah, Dennis Allen. So I thought this was really interesting. With Austin Booker expected to return, and he is expected to return and play in the game this Sunday at Cincinnati, we could see Dayo Odegbo start to play more on the inside, rushing from the inside. Here's Dennis.
You know, this offseason when we evaluated Dayo, I thought that was one of the best things that he did was his inside rush, and yet we haven't really been able to use him a whole lot in there. And so, I think we'll see how the games play out, but I think that could, you know, lend us being able to use him a little bit more inside.
What do you think's holding him back as an edge rusher right now?
Oh, look, I mean, I think probably the biggest thing that's holding any of us back is in terms of edge rushing is, you know, we've got to get into some of these games where we can, you know, get the score in a position where, you know, they're having to throw every down. It's much harder to rush the passer when you're in a, you know, run play action down than when they're in, you know, a drop back mode. I think, you know, our ability to affect the passer or affect the passing game, I think has been demonstrated some in terms of third down when, you know, that's really kind of a passing situation. There's different things that we can do, you know, in terms of can we bring an extra rusher? Do we drop the ends? You know, there's different things that we can do. But I do think, you know, when we've gotten into situations where it's an obvious passing down, I do think there's been some things that we've done to be able to affect the passer.
It's a good bit of nuance for Bears fans to consider. We've always heard about game situation, meaning, all right, they're going to go back to pass versus running. But no, what he's saying, and Ben said it yesterday, sometimes they go back to pass with the pretend running. And so your own instincts, you take that little quick step back, or you act in a different way on the defensive line. You don't get a chance to actually just go.
So win first and second down is what Dennis Allen is saying. Win those down so that it's third and nine, third and 11,
and put up some points. Offense, help us out.
That's what he was also saying. We'd like to be playing with a lead.
Yeah, Odegbo, one sack this year. two tackles for loss. It ain't enough for what they are paying him to be.
And I feel like that happened in the first game.
I think it did. Yeah, it was in the Minnesota game where we were all like, oh, there's Dio. There he is. Where'd he go? So hopefully he will make a return and make an impact. We're asking everybody out here, guys, about Ja'Marr Chase. Everybody getting a chance to sing his praises. I thought the most real stuff and the best stuff came from Dennis Allen, who is not exactly a man known to pump up the opponent, not prone to hyperbole, but he had wide eyes talking about Ja'Marr Chase.
With Ja'Marr Chase, what's kind of the most dangerous tool in the toolbox of his?
All of it. You know what I mean? Look, he's got good speed. He's got a really good catch radius. He really basically catches anything that's anywhere near him. And he does a great job of getting in and out of breaks. I mean, his transition skills are outstanding. He's an exceptional player. And, you know, when you watch the tape, you know, especially over the last few weeks, you know, they're feeding some targets to him. And there's times I look on the tape, I'm like, there's two dudes draped all over him and they're still throwing the ball to him, you know. So they got a lot of confidence in what he can do. And, you know, he's an explosive player and somebody that's going to be a challenge for us to have to deal with.
You faced him a few years ago. What stands out about that matchup the first time you got to see him out there?
All those same things, you know. I mean, he's a damn good football player, and he's going to be a guy that we're going to have to pay attention to and know where he's at. And yet, he's not the only one that's on the field that we got to deal with, you know. So he'll be a big part of what we have to do game plan wise. But they've got some other weapons that we have to deal with too.
Yeah, but he's the best receiver in the NFL because he can do absolutely everything. And that's
guy across from him is really good, too.
I know. Yeah, they got troubles. They got troubles.
I wish that Jaquan Brisker would have taken the same tone talking about those guys that DA did.
You're really bothered by Brisker, aren't you, Lawrence?
I'm bothered by it.
Oh, man.
I just don't feel like it's... I hope he backs it up, and I hope that they back it up, and it would be great. It would be terrible if they got the treatment that the rest of the league has got. How many catches did Ja'Marr Chase
70.
have?
70. He's got 70. 70.
70 catches. 70.
He would be 25th on the Bears' all-time single-season list.
Now.
Wow. After eight games.
70 catches, 720 yards, and 5 TDs. And that sounds like a good year to me.
It's a great year. It's a Curtis Conway year.
Maybe Jake Browning is the quarterback, and the Bears can make all of their dreams come true. I just feel like I don't know if they're really in a position to be poking the bear, no pun intended.
Poking the Bengal.
Feels like a guy that you just want to be like, he's really good, and we're going to have our work cut out for us this week.
Yeah, we got to talk trash on him. All right, good luck. You know, who's it? Who was the kid who – LeBradford Smith.
Oh, my God. What a pull.
MJ.
What a pull.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That is outstanding.
Who is LeBradford Smith?
Talk trash on good. Michael Jordan, and it didn't go well.
Did not go well.
All right. No. What else you got, Croats?
One more cut, and it is from the offensive coordinator of the Bears.
Declan.
Yeah. Young, transparent Declan Doyle. I've enjoyed getting to know him a little bit this year. I think one of the themes with Declan, and even in the locker room to some degree, specifically on Caleb, is Caleb doing a good enough job of spreading the ball around to his top targets? Roma Dunze has been targeted 56 times. The next closest to him are DJ Moore and Olamide Zaccheaus, each at 38 targets. So you will hear the buildup to the specific Rome question and what Declan Doyle thinks about the targeting that has gone on so far with Caleb.
What's the ideal in your world? What's the ideal target share for a number one receiver?
Target share? I think the biggest thing is that you want to be multiple enough that teams can't just key on that one player. I think it depends on, you know, what your weapons are. Obviously for us, you know, we're very fortunate to have a lot of them. And so you really don't want to be, you know, saying, hey, this guy's got to catch, you know, 12 ball. We don't really want to be force feeding one player. At the same point in time, you want to make sure that our guys are primary in the read in a lot of the plays that we're going to call. And so as we put the game plan together, that's taken into account quite a bit. Whether that's a wide out, a tight end, or a back, that's something that you always need to be looking at. And I think it changes week to week based on the matchups and who we're playing.
Caleb and Rome seem to have pretty good chemistry with each other. Do you have to caution against locking in on Rome?
I don't think you need to caution against anything. I think it's always, if Rome is first in the progression, that's who we need to be looking at. If Rome is later in the progression, then your eyes need to be on one and progress to two and three. We kind of let the plays take care of themselves as far as that goes. But I don't think anytime your quarterback and a player have good chemistry, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think we encourage that.
Okay, this is one of the big conversations that we've been having all week when it comes to what Caleb is supposed to be doing and what the receivers are going to be doing. I can't wait to see how all of this stuff plays out because it's been a rough week, and I think that they're all trying to figure it out, and Caleb's trying to figure it out too. How did they not just keep guys happy, but how do they move forward as an offense?
Let the offense be the star. Let the system be the star. Go where the ball is supposed to go. Just, I mean, that's still what Mahomes does. It's what everybody does. Unless those specific moments when you're like, well, I need to give it to my guy. By the way, I'm sorry. I'm just looking for the over numbers on Jamar Chase.
Yeah, I was looking at those too.
Yeah, I'm going to try to figure those out.
How's it going?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good luck.
These are interesting times. Any nuggets and tidbits?
Yeah, I guess people should know that Joe Flacco, I don't know if you guys have mentioned it today, but Joe Flacco did return to practice for Baltimore today after not practicing yesterday. He's been dealing with a right shoulder injury.
Are we sure that he didn't run the scout team?
Yeah. We have to look at everything now. We have to look at everything. Shout out to CBS2's Matt Zahn for doing the dig on this nugget. He was part of the scrum of Jaquan Brisker, Lawrence, when we were talking about trash talking. The trash talk game about which he was speaking, the Justin Jefferson trash talk. So that turns out to be the final game of Brisker's rookie season, which was 4 years ago. In the first half, Jefferson had 10 catches for 138 yards. Commence more trash talking, make a grown man cry.
Wow.
Second half, just 2 catches for 16 yards is all he had.
So he's emboldened. So maybe those first half props for Jamar or the whole
the
game.
The damage was done. And then just one other thing, too. I did ask Roma Dunze after his scrum, like, when did this heel injury pop up? And he said that, and this is not a great thing, I don't think, not like a 5-alarm fire or anything, but he says it's been bugging him all year, that it was essentially something that's been progressing, and then it just became more untenable in the last game. So it's just something to monitor. Looks like, I mean, he was limited, which is an upgrade, but it's not great to hear that this is something that's been bugging him all year.
Great job as usual, Groats. We'll talk to you soon.
Later, guys. Bears.
Bears.
It's time to play the game.
What game is that?
I get to play along. It's categories, and the host is Chris Tannehill.
Tanny does a tremendous job with everything he touches.
Well, we'll see if he does a great job with this. Categories next on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Good vibes, Ben.
Afternoons on the Score.
So,
I think it's time to play the game.
We're playing the game?
Yes, we're playing the game.
Do we have to play the game?
What's the game?
The game is categories. We do it every week here on the Spiegel and Holmes Show. It's a lot of fun. Ba-da-da-ba-ba-da-ba-da.
Categories was on bye last week, apparently.
It really was. We had a lot to dig through.
So it's refreshed.
Yeah, its category is refreshed. We'll see what kind of schematic changes have taken place during the bye. Three categories, two sports, one pop culture, all kind of floating around the zeitgeist this week. And the host this week is Chris Tannehill.
Hello there. All right, so we'll begin. Speaks first, as per his contract, then Lawrence and Alex. Bears at Bengals this week at noon Sunday.
Come on, Bengals!
We don't know who's going to be quarterback in this Cincinnati outfit on Sunday quite yet. We were making a joke earlier in the week how Boomer Esiason said maybe under center for the Bengals on Sunday. So with that being said, I've got a list here. Let's go to our list. Okay. 25, the top 25 Bengals passing leaders of all time. Now, this is by yards. So the top 25 Cincinnati Bengals quarterbacks. Speaks.
I'll go with Ken Anderson.
Very good. He's number one. Lawrence.
Andy Dalton.
He is absolutely number two. Alex.
Boomer Esiason.
Yes, absolutely. Sneaky. Boomer is. Yeah, that's a good call by you, Alex. Number three. And now we get a little sketchy.
How about Carson Palmer?
Carson Palmer, great absolutely. Choice. Yep, number four.
Jeff Blake.
Oh, that's fun.
Good call, Lawrence. Number six all time.
Woo-hoo! Damn it.
How about Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow already number five.
All right. That was definitely.
Now it gets sketchy.
Now it gets really sketchy.
There's still 20 more names on here.
How is that even possible? Not that many people have played. All right, how about, is it the Bengals we're talking about?
Yes.
Just to be clear, these are the Cincinnati Bengals.
You know, at what point do we want to throw out hints? So actually, I don't even have that many hints, to be honest with you, but.
Oh, boy. I'm embarrassed. I got troubles because I was definitely going to go Jeff Blake. I'm freezing. I can't think of any.
Oh. Lawrence?
John Kitna?
John Kitna, good. Absolutely. Number seven
that's
all
great.
Time.
That's great.
Alex?
Akili Smith.
Oh!
Wow, number 13 all time.
13?
Yes.
You mean that there's 12 below?
So I said, this list gets a little sketch.
Horrendous.
Lawrence?
Let's go to our list.
Okay, let's go.
Neil O'Donnell?
Neil O'Donnell, that's right.
I think wow. No way!
Yeah, I think he was there for like 1 year or something like that. Yeah,
no
number 12. He's just ahead of old Akili.
That's amazing.
Alex?
I'm out. I'm sorry. I'm out.
All right, Lawrence for the win.
I'll say Jake Browning just because.
Oh, it's a
terrible
call.
List.
It's a great call.
Dude, he's number 11.
No! I should have guessed Jake Browning.
Yeah,
he had a good run a couple years ago.
So I thought for sure Lawrence would have had his guy A.J. McCarron, number 22 all time.
The lieutenant governor?
Yeah, exactly. Boomer's head coach, Sam Weish, on this list also, right?
Wow.
And Jay Schrader on here. Other notable names, David Klingler and Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's number 15.
Oh, I forgot
15.
About that's one of the teams that Fitzmagic was on.
Who else is in the top 10? Who else is in the top 10 that we didn't get?
Virgil Carter. I mentioned
ball.
Klingler was 8.
Yeah, okay.
Turk Schonert.
Turk Schonert, everybody. Yeah, no chance.
That's it. All right. Wow. Good job. That was spirited. All right. We talked about earlier in the show, and I think Spiegs already has one in the pocket here. But last night, Treya Savage broke Sandy Koufax's rookie record for strikeouts in a World Series game with 12. Only 22 men have struck out more than 11 in a World Series game.
Oh,
who
wow.
are they?
So this is just 22 guys with 11 or more strikeouts in a single World Series game.
That's right.
That's fun.
So this time we'll start off here with Alex. Alex, you go first.
Roger Clemens.
No Roger Clemens. Hope you have something else you'd like to do here the rest of the segment, Alex.
You might not be alone.
We'll go Spiegs here next. Spiegs?
I thought we go Alex, or go at Lawrence. No?
I think I'm next.
Okay, well, I'll just switch it up. Okay, all right.
Randy Johnson.
Randy Johnson, absolutely. He struck out 11.
Yeah, by the way, Randy did that in Game 6 in 2001, I believe, and then closed the next night in Game 7. I will say Bob Gibson.
Bob Gibson, absolutely. He did it twice. He struck out 17 once and 13 the other time.
17, I knew. I think that's the record, right?
Yeah, that is the record. He's the only man on here twice. So, Lawrence?
Nolan Ryan?
Nolan Ryan is not on this list.
All right. Damn it.
Biggs for the win.
Well, I did give you Smokey Joe Wood.
You did.
Earlier.
You did do that, yeah.
I'll give you another.
Thanks for listening, Alex. You could have had that one.
Give you Garrett Cole. Did Garrett Cole do it?
Garrett Cole did not do it, actually. So this is 11 or more.
Verlander?
No, he didn't either.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I already won with Smokey Joe Wood.
Yes, you did. So you want the list?
Yes.
My nickname in college, Chief Bender, Mort Cooper. Bill Dineen, Bill Donovan, Mo Drabowski, Don Drysdale, we mentioned earlier.
Yes, Drysdale.
Howard Emke, Carl Erskine, Orlando El Duque Hernandez did it back in 2000, I believe. Clayton Kershaw did it. Sandy, as I mentioned in the question.
Yes.
Don Newcomb. Blue Moon Odom did it as well.
He went to Old Republic.
He did. Tom Seaver, John Smoltz, Bob Turley, Walter Johnson. And and of course, Big Ed Walsh did it as well. So
my nickname was Mort Cooper in college. You were Chief Bender.
All right, final one, final category here.
Oh yeah.
So I really wanted to have a fun list here for Halloween. I searched, the top 25 Halloween candies, but the list doesn't go that deep, apparently.
What's your favorite Halloween candy?
Exactly.
Don't use ranker.com.
Yeah, absolutely not. So I really wanted to do a movie one here, and it took me a while to find a list that I deemed respectable, because a lot of the good movies weren't on these lists. But according to the Wikipedia, this is the top 30 grossing Halloween horror movies of all time. So top 30 grossing horror movies of all time.
So not necessarily Halloween related?
Correct. Horror is the distinction. So yeah, excuse my error when I said Halloween earlier there. But
so top 30 horror movies of all time in terms of grossing. Wow.
So there's, so for context, a lot of these lists that I looked at, it was a lot of like recent movies. I looked at the highest rated movies. A lot of them were very recent. A lot of them, listeners never would have heard of probably. If you've got kids, you don't go to the movies a lot. So this is a good mix of like newer stuff and classics. So I think it's a good list here. So,
all right, I guess I'm leading off. Yeah. Halloween.
Halloween is actually not on the list. It's
really?
Just outside the top 30.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah, neither are any. So I'll save time. Neither are any of the sequels. None of the Halloween movies made it to the top 30.
All right, I'll go. How about Scream?
Scream not on the list.
What? Alex for the win.
Oh man, sorry about this, folks. We're right at 40 here. So
that's
Alex,
okay.
Since this is so, you got this.
I don't. Jeepers Creepers.
Jeepers Creepers. No, Jeepers Creepers not
true
on the
crime.
List. Let's keep going.
Yeah, let's keep going.
Like Freddy versus. Right.
Like, there's some obvious ones on here, and there's some recent ones on here.
Because now we're just
Sinners.
Dealing with Halloween, with horror movies.
Sinners.
Sinners is on the list, number 12.
Is Hereditary on the list of recent vintage?
It ought to be, but it's not.
Oh,
it's not top
be.
Grossing. Yeah. Sorry.
That's too bad.
The Sixth Sense?
Sixth Sense is on here. Now, Lawrence has won, and now he's just showing off here.
Is The Ring on the list?
Not top grossing, no. So you want me to just run down this list here while we're at 40? A Quiet Place, both the original and the sequel, both play 16 and 24, respectively. Alien Romulus, Annabelle Creation, Beetlejuice the sequel, Conjuring 1 and 2 at 17 and 18 right next to each other, and also Conjuring Last Rites. Exorcist at 9.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Final Destination Bloodlines, Five Nights at Freddy's. I never heard of that one. But
I saw it with Ruben, and I regret my existence for 3 hours.
Showbiz Pizza.
Hannibal on here. They have I Am Legend classified as a horror movie.
That's on here as well.
Yeah. It, the most recent ones, 1 and 2. It, number 1, by the way. The recent remake of It is number 1.
Wow.
Jaws at number 5. Huh. Of course, Nun 1 and 2. Electric Boogaloo. Prometheus, Resident Evil, Afterlife and Final Chapter. Signs, number 10. Silence of the Lambs, 28. Split, 27. Van Helsing.
Ooh, love Split.
The recent Weapons, right at the bottom of the list, number 30. I'm glad that's on there. What Lies Beneath and World War Z round out the rest of the top 30 grossing horror movies of all time.
I think to follow up our Halloween costume as the twins from The Shining last year, me and Christine are going as Aunt Gladys from Weapons and one of her victims. Which means I just have to break off and start running every time she snaps a branch.
Maybe The Shining will be up there at this time next year because they're re-releasing it in IMAX. So maybe it'll get back up there for top grossing.
Maybe
I was kind of surprised that wasn't on here. But
so who won? Did Lawrence win?
Lawrence won, yeah.
And Lawrence won!
The listener won.
As always.
That's the most important thing. The listener won. We are going to come back and we're going to talk about politics and sports. I know something that people absolutely love to discuss.
Stick to politics.
This is another prime example of where the two trains meet. We'll explain next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No more politics. From now on, we only talk sports.
We did a segment called The Others yesterday, which we do weekly, and one of the things we checked in on was Brian Kelly's buyout. As he was fired as the head coach at Louisiana State University. And after the show, like a little bit of news crossed that maybe the state government of Louisiana was not going to potentially let the university go down the same big money path that got them in trouble again.
The idea was that the athletic director was not going to be allowed to make this decision unilaterally, that the Board of Regents would play a bigger role in the next hiring that happens. And that, of course, was said by the governor of the state of Louisiana.
So this,
I can tell you right now, Scott Woodward is not selecting the next coach. Hell, I'll let Donald Trump select it before I let him do it. I don't know, but the Board of Supervisors is going to come up with a committee and they're going to go find us a coach. Hold on. One real quick thing on that. Because here's what y'all reporters need to do. Y'all need to start looking at who represents all these people. like these agents. You know what's interesting? If I'm not mistaken, Woodard's agent, Kelly's agent, the Texas A&M, they're all the same agent. Like, you realize if I would be, I don't know how y'all, how many sports writers we got here today? Like, just you. We should have a bunch. Okay? Like, this is ridiculous. Lawyers would be disbarred for the way these agents act and the way they're able to represent. They, in fact, they may, there's no doubt, they may even represent some of the players now. Like, it's really time for the NCAA to put on some guardrails in college sports. Because, and it's fine. We don't need the guardrails. If big billionaires want to spend all that kind of money, no problem. But if I got to go find $53 million from Kemp, it's not going to be a pleasant conversation. I'm just telling you.
He's a Cajun.
So he's talking about agents, big-time coaches' agents, who are ruining things in college. Who's it? Who's he talking about?
Trace Armstrong.
The former shadow president of the Chicago Bears, the one-time Bear, the agent for Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron.
So Alex put me up on to Saturday Night Lights, which was a documentary that Netflix did on the SEC. So I'm watching that, and there's a scene where Brian Kelly is talking to Trace Armstrong on the phone, and he makes mention of the fact that there maybe is a conflict of interest.
Everybody's got to do the best they can for their clients. I think everybody understands that.
For us, we're trying to protect guys that can help us win. Let's work together. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Happy hunting.
All right, thanks, Trace. Talk to you later.
See ya.
Bye. Interesting world we live in. He's my agent. But he's representing players that are on my team.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. That's one way to put it.
That's Brian Kelly fully admitting the conflict of interest that his agent has after what probably wasn't a very useful conversation. Wow. Trace was doing some, and still is, doing some shady-ish. There are a lot of agents out there who do some shady-ish.
I don't know if
some, anyway.
I don't know if it's necessarily shady. I do think that there is some conflicts of interest that need to be discuss and define. I am with this 262 texter, though. The idea of regulation from a Southern Republican politician is a strange one. And I get it, and I agree with the governor on this. I'm sure that's probably where he and I part ways on some things, but I agree with him that there needs to be better oversight. The oversight, by the way, should come from the schools. You didn't have to fire Brian Kelly right now.
Mm-hmm.
You could have stayed with him. I don't think it was going to get better, but you didn't have to do that right now.
But that's the governor of the state talking about it.
He's the, but see,
the highest paid employee.
The governor of any state should talk about these things because of how much money coaches are taking from the state that they are in.
Speaking of agents and conflicts of interest, the Major League Baseball Players Association has banned a prominent player agent, a guy named Jim Murray of WME Sports. They've banned him and fined him because during the labor negotiations in 2020, he was apparently double dealing with the commissioner's office.
Now that's shady.
While also dealing with his players as part of the players' union.
And taking union business and telling it to MLB.
So wanting to be friends with Manfred and MLB while also still representing players. Among his clients, Andy Pettit in the past, Anthony Volpe, Adam Ottavino, and Ian Happ.
A player representative.
So the idea that Ian Happ, a proud and vocal player rep, might have been talking to his agent and his agent was turning around in 2020 and talking instead, or in addition to the commissioner's office. Now, was Ian a player rep in 20? Probably not.
Well, he's been with the team since 2017, right?
Yeah. I don't think he was the rep back then.
And remember, all of the other guys were gone.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I know that he cares quite a bit about player labor.
For sure. Well, yeah, he does, because Ian was part of a kind of a mutiny that took place within the MLB Players Association last year. And you know where things stand. It's volatile. Rob Manfred showing up in clubhouses trying to tell players what's what coming up. And
Bryce Harper being like, hey,
yeah,
you better get out of here.
Bryce Harper getting up in Mark DeRosa's face because DeRosa was trying to maybe play it both ways.
Yeah, didn't like that.
So this is that's volatile news ahead of some eventual labor talks, which I'm sure are just going to go great.
Yeah, that's a terrible look. I'm glad that the PA did something about it, and that's probably the most powerful PA that sports has in America is that one. But that is shady. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine like the level of betrayal that you would feel if that was your agent?
Yeah, no, that's brutal. That is absolutely brutal.
Bad.
Yeah.
Now we're going to make you happy. Why? Because Dave Wanstead is here. He's here.
He's here. And is he writing something on the board, or has he got an idea?
He drew some stuff up.
Already?
Yeah.
He was drawing stuff up during categories. He is fully prepared and ready to go.
Did he have a category for us?
Wasn't listening to categories?
He could do more than one thing at one time.
I don't know.
Man's got a brain.
By the way, did you notice a lot of sound drops celebrating the host of categories during categories? Did you notice that?
I think that Tanny should be celebrated in all opportunities.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting, you know, as we are competing for who is the best categories host.
I think we found him.
Tanny.
And I think that his reward should be he is the full-time host of
categories. Congratulations, Tanny. I look forward to playing again next week.
Dave Wanstead joins us in studio next here on The Score. Rahimi.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.